Good morning. So today, we come to the close of our 8-week series on the book of Psalms. Have you guys enjoyed this series on the book of Psalms? It's been awesome. I hope you've gotten into this. You know, we've been posting all these videos of people reading the Psalms because we're trying to stimulate somehow for everybody to get into the Psalms. But if you haven't started, it's not too late. You can start today. This morning, as we wrap up the series, we're going to do three things. First of all, we're going to review the purpose of the Psalms. Then we're going to hear from our four invisible panelists here about their experience. Well, we'll have real humans, don't worry. About their experience with the Psalms. And then we're going to finish with some more worship. So let's start with prayer. God, we thank you for the written word. We thank you for the Psalms and how, as we read those, we can better know you. And as a result of that, we can better know who we are. And so I pray, God, right now, that you would quiet our spirits and our ears to be able to hear from you. All the crazy things distracting us about what's going to happen this afternoon and what we're facing this week and all the terrible things that happened the past few days. God, would you put our minds and our hearts at peace so we could hear from you? Nothing changes us like hearing from you, God. I pray that we would all experience you today, right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so first of all, let's review the purpose of the Psalms. We experience at least three things when we come to God through the Psalms. First of all, as we read the Psalms, first and most important, we experience God himself. We see who God is in the Psalms, what he's like, what his nature is, his character, his style, his personality, what he does, what he doesn't like. And the purpose of the Psalms is really, and really all the scriptures, is to know God. Not to know about God, not to know nice and pretty things about God, but to know God as a person. There's a difference between the two. The Apostle Paul once said that knowledge puffs up like a puffer fish, which looks intimidating, but it really is nothing there. But love builds up. There's something about knowing God, encountering God deeply, that it changes you forever. That's partly why we have the scriptures, because as we get in the scriptures and we study them, it changes. So I think it actually changes our DNA. As we know God more fully, it changes us inside. And we go from hearing a verse that sounds nice, be still and know that I'm God, be still and know, to like, oh, be still and know that I'm God. There's a difference. I'll give you a little example. So this past week, I was meditating on that passage from Psalm 37, be still and know that I'm God. And I've been trying to do that. I take 5 minutes here, a minute there, 10 minutes, which is an infinity for me, and I just am still. I've even taken my phone. I started putting my phone in the back seat when I drive. I get off my phone and just drive. You can do that, you know. But anyway, the stillness doesn't have to just be in your quiet time chair with Jesus. It can be wherever you are. You can still yourself. So I've been trying to do that. And the most amazing thing that has been happening to me this week as I've been doing that, instead of knowing God sort of intellectually, theologically, I've started to encounter God. I would say, like you could say, like, be still and find God. Be still and let God prove himself. That's what it's been happening. And as I've spent a minute here, I've found something will happen later in the day and I get 5 minutes back. As I've spent 10 minutes in silence with God, some point that day or that week, an hour magically appears. I've heard people talk about this with money. They're like, I gave $100 and then I went to my mailbox and there was $100 in the mailbox. And I never really totally believed it, but I'm experiencing it with time. It's not really my time anyway. But as I'm obedient to his word, boy, does he want to prove how very real he is. So this week, we had this insane week. We had people visiting from three different states, family from three different states. It was our anniversary, our daughter's birthday, and the first week of school, and we have kids in all three schools. And they can't just do school. They have to do cross country and all these other things. So my hand is sore from writing forms this week. I don't even know what I was writing anymore. Just yes, yes, yes. It's a crazy busy week. But I was still trying to do this. I was being still with God, little bits of time here and there. And so Monday, I'm in my office. Okay, Tuesday is my daughter's 9th birthday. Monday, I'm in my office, and Brenda Niss, our administrator, walks in, and she's like, do you want a cake? And I was like, well, sure. Does it happen to be pink? She said, yeah, it's pink, and it says happy birthday. I'm like, of course it says happy birthday, and it's pink, and it's chocolate, and it has a bow on it, because my daughter turns 9 tomorrow, and we didn't have a cake yet. This is what I'm talking about. That's not just a happy little coincidence. That's the move of God. When we're faithful in like these little bits of truth to him, boy, is he faithful back. But the best part about the story is we give her the cake. And you know what she says to my wife? Wow, you really know me. You really know me. Because I said yes and took a cake home that was handed to me. I mean, God is alive. He's alive. So the Psalms help us encounter God. That's the first thing. Secondly, as we get into the Psalms, we experience freedom from our old selves and we find our true selves. You can't actually really know yourself until you know the one who created you in the first place. And so the Psalms are given to us to help us get out what needs to come out, give us permission to let it out, and to get truth back in to replace it. This week I was doing the dishes at 9 o'clock one night. Have you ever been doing the dishes at 9 o'clock? You're tired and you're like, clearly somebody else should be doing these dishes right now, not me. So I'm doing the dishes and instead of listening to heavy rock music or something, I put on the Psalms. And I'm listening to the Psalms, and I come across Psalm 88, which is, by the way, the only one that doesn't end in happiness. It ends with, and in the end, death is my only friend, or something like that. Read it, Psalm 88. And my mouth dropped open. I was like, can you do that? But throughout the psalm, the psalmist is basically, it's almost like the psalmist is mocking God. Where are you? What are you doing? And God, in his mercy, allows that to be included in the scripture for us. Not so that we would abuse God with similar language, but we would know we could say these kinds of things and then redirect our attention, appropriately so, to truth. We don't just read the Psalms, we put our lives into these prayers. We put our lives into the prayers, and we put the prayers into our very real lives. And as we do that, we're shaped. We're shaped into how we pray, how we think, how we work, how we stop working. And we begin to relate to God more intimately the way he invites us to relate to him. Instead of trying to look all nice and pretty, we look like we were supposed to look, which, you know, we're not all nice and pretty a lot of times. So we're given the Psalms to know God. We're given the Psalms to experience our true selves, who we're supposed to be. And third, we're given the Psalms to find truth and hope for this world, which, would we all agree, needs hope and truth. And the more we experience God and the things that only can come from God, the more we have to give those around us. Paul said to the people of Ephesus, encourage each other with the Psalms. Be singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And we're being poured out like salt for the world. Salt that protects, that heals, that makes things taste better. So we're going to do that right now. Can we have our four panelists to the stage? Would you welcome our four panelists up here to the stage? We're going to hear from a few of our very own people. These are our people. These are Grace Covenant people. The Apostle Paul said in Acts 17, actually, I don't know who wrote Acts. We don't know for sure. Some say Luke. Anyway, we're told in Acts 17, from one person, God made everyone, and he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. God determined the times set for us and the exact places we should live. So we think, well, I live here because my, you know, ex-spouse lives here and I have to live here. I live here because I went to JMU and then I got a good job. I live here because I like the country and I hate the city. I live here because my brother lives here and no. I mean, those, they may have some legitimate truth to it, but we ultimately, we're here together in this specific time in history because God wants to do something through these relationships. That's what I love about small groups. I'm not giving a pitch. Well, it's a little pitch for small groups. But like, there's something about being in relationship with each other. Quentin's dad was in one of the first small groups we were in, and I remember they were at our house. Remember this? And we were trying to serve ice cream, and I broke the ice cream scooper, and the ice cream landed in his dad's lap. I don't know what that has to do with anything, but God has us together for a purpose that's bigger than what we can imagine. That's actually the next series we're going to do, is on purpose. So I want to introduce each of these folks briefly, and then we're going to let them each share a little bit about their experience, how they experienced God through the Psalms, okay? First, we have Quentin King. Quentin runs their family farm just north of Harrisonburg, and he has helped more than a few mama cows deliver breech calves, which if you've ever done that, it's get your gloves on. That's all I'm saying. And Quentin recently visited New York City for the first time. Nick Stewart is a dad of three happy kids. He works for Cornerstone Foundations, and Nick, and I quote with his permission, "If it wasn't for Jesus, I'd be a thieving, lying, shameful addict." Next, we have Tamara Monroe. Tamara grew up in the Charlottesville area. She works in retail, and she's been studying music all her life. And down there in the end, we have Donna Kelly. Donna lives downtown, is recently retired, and the best and hardest week of 2019 so far was VBS with her four grandchildren. Okay, so can you give them a big round of applause? Okay, very good. All right, Donna, here you go. Tell us something about how the Psalms have impacted you.
Okay, so right after that hard week of VBS, I got really sick because I was so worn down from the week. Lots of unexpected things happened, and I started feeling really bad. But there was a situation going on that was kind of an all-hands-on-deck where I needed help with some tasks that were really important with a deadline, and so I kept pushing myself to do it because, unfortunately, one of my weaknesses is that I don't want to be seen as incapable and not able. And so I kept doing this thing, and I was getting worse and worse until, and as you might guess, I was also not in the Word at that time. So God finally got my attention. One day I drove to urgent care and learned that I had bronchitis, so it wasn't that bad, but I really didn't need to be doing what I was doing because I was wearing myself out further. But once I decided not to go do that anymore, I started digging into the Psalms because it was the summer of Psalms, and that's pretty much where I go when I'm desperate and begging. And I love that I enjoy a close relationship to the Lord, but it's just maddening to me when I look back and go, oh, right, I'm not in the Word. Anyway, so once I got better, 2 days later, it was last Sunday, and I thought, well, now that I'm better, I'll go and help now instead of going to church. And it just, again, it's just astounding to me that I, you know, God can be speaking to me and we can be doing this battle, which was going something like this. You can make this choice, Donna, talking about the work, but is that the wise thing to do? And we have, do you really want to give up ground that we've covered before? So anyway, at the last second, I decided to come to church last Sunday instead of go and help out some more. And anyway, and lo and behold, Mike preached on Psalm 37, which is the psalm where I had been for the last 2 weeks. And the verses that were so important to me, the first one was, the law of his God is in his heart. His feet will not slip. I have loved that verse for so long. Used to have it taped to my bathroom mirror. And so that was a good reminder. But the other one was all the do not fret verses. And it was kind of playing like this in my head. Do not fret because the world values things that I do not value. And so anyway, the point for me is that I feel like I almost missed this, but I didn't, because there in the verse it says, the law of his God is in his heart, his feet do not slip. To me it's saying, do not forget that you will not forget, that you will not forget, that you will not forget. And I'm just was so grateful that I listened, because sometimes I don't. And when I came last Sunday, that was kind of the capstone on that whole 2 weeks of God speaking to me. And anyway.
Amen. That's awesome. Yeah. Very good. Thanks. Tamara?
I just wanted to read Psalm 118, 17. If I can find it here really quick. It says, I will not die but live. And will proclaim what the Lord has done. So for the last year or so, year and a half, I've just felt really unstable. Lots of stuff going on personally and at work, and things just got really dark or whatever. And so earlier this year, I was really feeling like, Lord, are you even, you know, going to carry me through here? Am I going to even make it to tomorrow or whatever? And so when we started this series, Psalm 118, 17 came out. And it was a huge dose of encouragement and hope. And then earlier in the psalm, you know, he talks about how, you know, he's gone through all these trials and different things, but the Lord has been his strength and, you know, seen him through. So I just feel like the Lord gave me a huge dose of hope and encouragement going forward. You know, he's not about being negative, but he's about seeing us through, seeing me through, and enabling me to have a testimony about it later.
Amen. Amen. Great. Nick?
I have struggled with an addiction for over half my life, and just recently just had a pretty big, big fall in regards to my addiction. And in that place, I felt so low and so just dirty and just shameful and full of guilt and doubt, that I just thought that was just going to be the last time for me. that this was going to be the last time that God pulls me out, that he's just getting tired of having to come back and pull me back into his presence and wipe me clean and forgive me. And in that time, I was very suicidal and just depressed. And the more I looked around, the worse it got, because I just felt so helpless. And I just felt that I couldn't feel, I couldn't hear God. I had forgotten how to talk to him. And this isn't the first time. So I just felt like it was just going to be, this was it for me. And I got to the place where I thought the only thing that I could do was to stop feeling this way was to try and take my own life. And God is faithful. And he's so the opposite of what I think he is. And as Mike asked me, I believe it was earlier this week, he asked me if I would do this. And I was amazed, because earlier on, like the day before, God was just speaking to me about Psalm 77. And I didn't know off the top of my head what Psalm 77 was. So I went that night, and when I got home, I read it. And then Mike messaged me the next day and asked me if I had a psalm or verse, favorite verse I could share about. And I was like, man, this is pretty cool. I actually have something to talk about when put me on the spot real quick. So the one that spoke to me, the verse that spoke to me the most in Psalm 77 is verse 10. It says, then I thought, to this I will appeal the years when the Most High stretched out his right hand. And if someone asked me to write down or reflect on everything that God has done in my life, the ways I've seen him move, I couldn't do it, because there's just so many times that he's shown up in amazing ways. I was served and lived in Battelle for a year. He brought me through that. I've struggled with this for probably 13, 14 years old, and seen a lot of things when I was little that you just don't forget. But God is amazing, and he's put people in my life to help remind me and pull me out when I fall back to those old ways of thinking. Because although he's done all these amazing things, the enemy continues to try, and he reminds me as well of what I've done, who I've hurt, who I've, you know, just in awful ways. But God is just a God of, he doesn't see me like an addict. He sees me as his child. And that revelation is, it just can't be put into words. So, thank
you. That's great, Nick. Thank you. Great. Quentin.
So about 2 years ago, my wife Caitlin and I were building our house, and the whole process ended up being really stressful. There was a lot of, you know, financial decisions we had to make, decisions on how to build the house, and I was being the general contractor, so I was making phone calls all the time. And one morning I called Caitlin and was just kind of venting and processing to her about the whole process. And that morning she just happened to read Psalms 127, which, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. And I realized, I was like, I'm not just stressed about the build. Like, I'm stressed because I'm so insecure about, like, is the Lord going to approve of the financial decisions that we're making over the house? Is he going to approve about, like, how we're doing this? Like, does he think we're doing this well? And I realized, like, when she read that verse, like, the Lord is using his word to pursue us. Like, it's not just a collection of facts. It's not just a bunch of information that he thought was really important that we know. It's actually his word that is alive, that is pursuing us. And I recently heard a song says, God only knows where to find you. God only knows how to break through. God only knows the real you. There's a kind of love that God only knows. And realizing that, like, At times, I don't even know who I am because I get so wrapped up in my insecurities or my weaknesses, and I try to, like, downplay who I am. But God always knows who you are. He always knows who he created you to be. He always knows who he's called you to be. And he's always going to keep pursuing you in his word through his scriptures to reveal to you that there's a kind of love that only he knows of how to, like, really encourage us through his word. And it's not just a passive book. Yeah.
Wow. Amen. Preach. Do you see the trajectory, though, that was common in all four of these? It was like, I was going this way, but God. Every time, everyone, that's the commonality in all four of these. It was like, this is life, this is real life, this is what's happening, but God. It's like, it's a direct change of perspective, really. That's what each of you have had, just get your head off of yourself, off of the problems, off of your enemies, and redirect your attention to God. Well, the truth is this. So I want to just pray for you. Bert, will you come up? We're going to pray blessing. Because when we, Jerry Fawley reminded me of this really well in the first service, that when we put ourselves out there like this, when we testify, the enemy thinks he can come after us, but we have God on our side, so.
I talked a little bit too earlier. Yes, Jesus, thank you for the power of the testimony of your faithfulness. Thank you for the reminder that your word is living and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it will cut through the good and the evil and get to the truth. So, Lord, I thank you for these four who were willing to come and share their hearts with us today. Thank you for the way we can receive when we hear from your people. And Lord, I just pray protection over them, that where the enemy would try to discredit the truths that were shared today, that he has no power, no authority. And I just pray the protection of the blood of Jesus over Quentin, over Nick, over Tamara, over Donna. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, can you give them a big round of applause? Oh, and we have gifts for you. We have gifts. Instead of Klein's gift cards, we thought we'd do the real thing, so. Hope you like Dreamsicle or whatever weird flavor it is today. Way to go, you guys. Honestly, that's why we're a part of a church, is to be in the story. We read the scriptures to read what happened and what will happen in the future, but we spend time with each other, so we're constantly, like, hearing the truth. You're going to have to share that ice cream. The Psalms, they give us this beautiful picture of who God is. We each have a different, it's like a paint by number, and we each have a number. We paint our part so we can collectively come to know who God is and get fresh perspective on the character and the nature of God. And as we know God, we then begin to know ourselves, and then we have something to offer the world around us. Psalm 66 says, "Come and hear, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me." That's what we just saw. People who experienced God, and they shared what they saw. So to finish the series, I've written a psalm of my own, you might say, with each verse built on a letter of the English alphabet, using all words and phrases from the Psalms. This is what you call an acrostic poem, and there are seven of these in the Psalms, only they're built on Hebrew letters, and ours is on English. Who is this God? He answers the prayers of his people, anoints your head with oil and blessing, awesome in his sanctuary, more awesome than all who surround him. Armed with strength, almighty is his name, avenger of blood they call him. the most beautiful, he who bears your burdens and binds up the broken, who blesses those who fear him. Compassion he shares with the righteous, confusion he brings to the wicked, a comforter and counselor for all who come to him, the creator over all that is, whether they like it or not. He's the defender of widows, the destroyer of the wicked. Dominion belongs to him alone. He does whatever he wants. He delights in those who fear him. He delights in the well-being of his people. Imagine that. Almighty God delights in you. The encourager, examiner of hearts, enthroned as king forever. He alone is exalted over all nations, exalted above all gods, exalted over all things. A father to the fatherless, feared by those who love him, the fortress of salvation. He forgives our sins, though they are horrible. He fights for his people. He frustrates the wicked. He frees us from our anguish. His favor lasts forever because he is faithful to the end. Is there anyone else who can claim all these titles? He's the gracious God. He's our God. He's the only God who does what's good. His greatness is impossible for you to understand. The giver of all blessing, the guide for all truth. His glory fills the earth. He's the Holy One of Israel and the helper to those who want him. Our hope is in him all day long. He hears us when we call. He heals our diseases. He hides us in his shelter. Israel's God, he instructs sinners in his ways. Intimately, he knows us, and infinitely, he pursues us. The judge of all the people, the joy of all the earth. He's the king of glory, the king of Zion City, the king of all kings. But I wonder, is he your king? He's the light, the Lord of all lords, the life-giving God of those who fear him. His love is better than life. It'll follow you around all of your days. He looks upon the lowly. He listens to the humble. He lifts us from the pit. If that's not the truth from what we just saw, I don't know what is. Will you let him be that close to you? He's the mighty one, the most high God, miracle-working, mercy-giving, more majestic than the mountains he made. He's the maker of the heavens and the earth, and he even made you in your mama's womb. He's nearer than you think. He ordains your days. He orders your steps. He owns all that is. Who else can say that? He's the provider for the poor, your portion forever. His countless promises preserve your life, pure and perfect in all he does. He punishes the wicked while he protects the meek. Quiet your soul in his presence. Your rock, your refuge, our righteous Redeemer. He rules by his power, looking for those in need of rescue. He raises the poor. He relieves the troubled. He restores the sick. He releases the trapped. Can you stand for these last couple verses here? This God is the only reliable stronghold for your life, the strength for his people. He's the shield around you. He's the sovereign one over you, the spirit within you who leads you on level ground. He strikes down evil. He shares his goodness. Our Savior, our Shepherd, our deepest satisfaction. Is there any wonder we are all about this God? He's the trustworthy teacher and the perfect timekeeper, a tower of protection from our enemies and the creepers. Creeper isn't in there in the Psalms, but I like that word. He upholds the righteous, the oppressed, and the depressed. He's unending, unstoppable, but most of all, famous for his unfailing love. Victorious power is in his hands, but his voice shakes the desert. His voice strips the forests bare. He watches over everyone. He works on your behalf, showing wonders to the righteous, bringing wrath for the evil. Worthy of all praise is he alone, exquisite in all his ways. Would you agree? Yahweh is his name that endures forever, the zealous God who lives in Zion City. This is our God. He's bigger than we can imagine, but closer than we think. We think we need more stuff, more money, more of something, but what we really need is more of the God who is the provider. We think we need our situation to change to be happy, but we really don't. We need the joy-giving God in the middle of that mess. We think we know what we need, but we're so easily confused. The Psalms tell us the truth over and over. Probably 500 different ways it says in the Psalms, God is your salvation. God is your salvation. Will you worship this God with me right now? We're going to close in prayer. Can we have the ministry team come forward? Can we have some small group leaders come up here to pray too? The dominant theme in the Psalms is the salvation of God, which isn't just a one-time thing you experience and then you're left to yourself. To some extent, salvation is a one-time thing. It's permanent. You got it. But you don't have to walk around like trying to fix all these other little messes in your life. You can ask God for help. And so that's what the altar's open for today. We want to pray with anyone who needs rescued from whatever, you know what, maybe especially from that thing that you've been after for a long time. In humility, come and let us pray for you for God's deliverance. We invite you today. I'm going to close with a little benediction from Psalm 20. This is so good. Psalm 20. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. God, make that true for each of us today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're ending a little early, so if you have kids, please don't pick them up in the upstairs classroom yet, because they use that time really, really, they use every minute of the time. So you've got a little time. Come up here and get prayer. Sit in your seat and just spend 2 minutes with God if you want. God bless you. We love you all.